Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Sure IDC podcast, the show about anything and everything. This is Lucas, and let's see what topic we can get into today. We talk about movies, songs, video games, board games, food, books, personality traits, animals, history, anything and everything you can think of. So sit back, relax, because we are just here to have a good time. It has been a while since we've done an episode over a musical review. What a more fitting way to get back into it by talking about the musical Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Whether you want to visit London, you like pies, or need a quick old-fashioned shave, you will enjoy this musical so much. Today we're diving deep into the story, the characters, the music, and the design of the show. To have this conversation with me today, he is back, he is brilliant, and he always has an opinion on musicals, and that is Lucas. How you doing today?
I'm good, Lucas. How are you?
I am doing great. Thanks for being on the show.
Yes, I love being back. I love how us sharing the same name is not confusing at all.
Oh, no, not at all. Just an episode. I mean, we've done like five of these, so, you know, I should really title them Musical Reviews with Lucas and Lucas. Well, why did I not think of that? Just now thought of that, and we've done six of these. Well, whatever. I'm not changing it now. So, of course, it's nice to have you back on the show. I'm pretty sure last time we talked about, gosh, what was it? Cinderella? Was that the last time you were on?
That's the one I remember.
Yeah, I think that was the last time you were on.
That's the one we talked about, but that's the one that, like, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we've done Love Never Dies. We've done Oklahoma. We've done Cinderella.
What's the first one we did? We did Phantom itself, didn't we?
I don't think we ever did Phantom. I think we did the first musical review we did was Love Never Dies.
Yeah, we did Love Never Dies. Yeah.
And then, Cats. Oh yes, we did. How could I forget Cats? Jonathan would be so mad at me that I forgot. Yeah, we did Cats. Gosh, I feel like I'm missing one. Why do I feel like I'm missing one?
I can't think of it.
I mean, we did. Okay, I'm going back through the. Oh, Wicked.
Wicked, yes. How can we forget Wicked?
Wicked. Let's see. Love Never Dies. Oklahoma. Wicked. And Cats. And did we nail all of them? I think we got all of them.
Cinderella.
And now, the Ballad of Sweeney Todd. All right. Yep. So, what is your just basic opinion of this show in particular?
It is so many things. It's hard to put into like a phrase or one word that makes sense. This show to me is genius. But disturbing. And genius, disturbing, but just pure creative genius, I guess, is the thing that I could say about it. Because, like, the top, and we'll get into the plot and everything, but the way they present some very deep topics in a very, like, scary tone, scary story that yet is humorous and actually makes me laugh quite a bit. And then, of course, Sondheim's music is genius. It's just, to me, it's pure creative genius. It's something you wouldn't think that would work on stage. Mm. And I know we'll get into history of the show, but, like, putting this on stage, it's like, musicals are all romantic, and it's Oklahoma. Everyone has a happy ending, and everything, mm-hmm. blah, 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 you know, like, and then you have Sweeney Todd. Oh, it's about a barber who murders people and then people eat them as pies.
Like, yeah.
When you say it, you sound crazy.
Yeah. I think that you just came up with their new slogan. They should put it on the poster. Or maybe critics are raving about Sweeney Todd. It's genius, but disturbing.
Yes. Genius, but disturbing. So, you know me. I watch the Tony Awards. I'm a major theater buff.
Mm-hmm.
They did a performance of the show on the Tony Awards. And I'm watching the Tony Awards with my sister, who's not a theater person, and my mom, who's also not really much a theater person. They just are humoring me. And this performance come on. And they're like, oh, this show seems kind of mysterious and dark. And, like, it seems really cool, though. There's Josh Groban, because it's the revival.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like, what's this show about?
You're like, you have no idea.
And I go, well, I never thought it would be really that hard to explain this show, but it kind of is. Yeah. And I'm like, it's about a barber who killed, like I said earlier, it's about a barber who kills people and he murders them and then they get turned into pies and then the people eat the pies and it's a circle of life, Hakuna Matata. And they're like, what? And I'm like, well, there's more to it than that. Like,
just a little bit.
Well, yes, like a little bit, because then, like, that's the overall, like, shock factor of the show. But yeah. Then it's like, why is he killing people? Like, is he just an evil person or is there a reason? And I'm kind of getting into the plot. But first, before I go there, what do you think about this show, Lucas?
Have you ever seen this show, like, live?
I have not.
Me neither. I think it'd be very interesting to watch it live. I feel like this is one of those shows where you have to be careful watching it live. Not necessarily, like, in a dangerous way, but, like, I feel like it could be really bad if you watch it live somewhere. But I also feel like it could be really good. I think you just have to be careful on what the type of theater is. If they want to be more experimental, it might be a little... I mean, because you can only go so crazy with it. So it's kind of interesting. But no, I've never seen it live. I've only seen the movie version, of course, with Johnny Depp. But, I mean, I think this is a musical that you should at least go and watch one time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I think you summed it up perfectly. It's genius, but disturbing. The music's great. Character development's great. Just everything is just very genius in a sense. I mean, it's one of those musicals where you sit down and watch it and you're like, what am I watching? But yet mm-hmm. you can't keep your eyes, like you can't turn your eyes away from it. And you know that everything that's going on is like wrong and just disgusting. But you're just like, oh, I enjoy the music. This song is kind of catchy. So it's very, I think, I like it. I like the musical a lot. I enjoy it. But I could see how it couldn't be for everyone. So it is very darker and mysterious.
Yes. My thing is, like, when you're trying, like, describing it to my family, that's when it kind of hit me. I was like, this show is actually really hard to describe. To make it sound like, oh, this is really good. Because it sounds like I'm crazy for even liking it.
Yeah.
Because before they even asked me what it's about, I was like, oh, this show's so good. And they're like, what's it about? And I'm like, as I'm trying to explain it to you, I see their faces and I'm like, okay, I sound nuts.
Yeah.
Because barber kills people, turns them into pies. It's hilarious and dark.
Well, that's kind of funny because when I was preparing for this episode, I was, you know, my girlfriend Ariel was in the room with me and I just really wanted to bring up, you know what, we should watch this movie that I'm doing to do this podcast over. And then I thought, you know what, maybe another time, I'll bring it up later. I don't think she would be really interested in it. I think there's definitely other musicals that I don't think has seen that I want to introduce her to.
Yeah.
But I'm just like, yeah, this wouldn't be a bad one to watch. I mean, I don't think I've watched it since high school. Or not high school, college. So,
yeah, college was the last time I watched it.
Did we watch it together? No, maybe.
We watched it together in college, but I did watch it at... I watched it at my house with a friend during COVID.
Oh, nice. So. But, social distancing, of course.
Social distancing, of course.
But no, I mean, this musical is about, I mean, pretty much the basics of what it's about is, you know, you said it multiple times, is a guy slits people's throats when they're getting a shave, and then their bodies are turned into meat pies. But it doesn't initially start into that. You know, it kind of evolves into that. You know, I think, correct me if I'm wrong with kind of the sharing of the plot here, but, you know, this guy, Sweeney Todd, he's been banished, I guess, from, you know, by a higher up in the community.
He was exiled by Judge Turpin.
Yeah, and but this Judge Turpin's kind of a bad man, and he abused and, you know, assaulted Sweeney Todd's wife, and, you know, pretty much drove her mad until she died, and he had a kid with her. Or was it his kid, or was it Sweeney's kid?
It was actually Sweeney's kid.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it was Sweeney's kid, and so finally he comes back, and his sole focus is killing this judge. And he's like, well,
vengeance.
Yeah, yeah, vengeance and revenge. And so his idea was to get him in a chair, because he was a barber, to get him in the chair and then, you know, tell him who he was and slice his throat and kill him and whatever. That's the only purpose. That's the whole thing. His whole goal at the beginning. I mean, I'm pretty sure for the first act of the show. And then I think towards the end of Act 1, doesn't he, like, come in and the barber there, but he didn't do it. And so he's kind of angry with himself. And so he just starts killing random people to practice on them.
Well, basically, yes. Basically what happens is, like, he has his chance to kill the judge. He loses it for multiple reasons. One was Miss Lovett unintentionally interfering, because another guy who... he's a smaller character, but he is still important in the plot. Pirelli, another barber, who actually Sweeney has a barber duel with. I don't know what you would call that. Like, but basically, it's like a dance duel. Off, but they're barbers. They're going to have a shave off, which sounds really weird and really odd when you put it like that. But that's what they did. They're like, we're going to have a shave off. And so, long story short, Sweeney Todd wins. Sweeney Todd's name is not actually Sweeney Todd. It's what he calls himself now, but it's actually Benjamin Barker. And Pirelli interrupts. He comes back later, and he has a little sidekick boy who's not that bright. And he comes back later, and I'm making this muddled up, but basically what happens is he interrupts the judge being shaved, and that makes Sweeney Todd mad. We come to find out that Pirelli actually knows who Sweeney Todd is, because he used to work for him and was kind of his assistant. Like, he has an assistant now. He was Benjamin Barker / Sweeney Todd's assistant. Sweeney, realizing that this guy could expose him to the judge, kills him. Kills Pirelli.
Yeah.
Not knowing what to do with the body, Mrs. Lovett, who is another key character in the story.
Because Sweeney barbers above her meat or pie shop.
Meat pie shop. And then she was neighbors with Benjamin Barker back in the day. And she's very oddly kind to Sweeney. It's a time period, I guess I should say, where not a lot of people are kind. It's times are hard, times are rough, etc.
I mean, it's definitely like, what is it? It's like, gosh, I feel like it's more like Jack the Ripper
era. It's like a very gothic Victorian England.
Yeah, yeah. So it's not like common, you know, age or, you know, present time. It's supposed to be back in the future or back in the past.
Yeah.
Back in the future,
Basically, back in the future, that's a whole other thing.
That's a whole other topic.
They're turning that into a musical, too.
Gosh, could you imagine?
So, back to the future. I'm getting, back to,
Sweeney Todd.
Miss Lovett and Sweeney. Miss Lovett, because now this guy who was kind of blackmailing Sweeney is dead, they're like, what are we going to do with the body? Well, Miss Lovett proposes that they use it for meat for the pies. And that's how they end Act One, by being like singing a song called The Little Priest, which is basically a very upbeat, fun song about all the different types of jobs men have that could be good for pies. When you put it that way,
that's kind of weird.
And then Act Two is the pie shop is booming. Everyone loves Mrs. Lovett's meat pies. And they love them. And business is good for Sweeney as well, obviously. They have this weird symbiotic relationship, and it's working for both of them. But Sweeney still wants the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's his ultimate goal.
You know, you would think, I mean, I don't know if it ever brings it up in the show, I can't really remember specifically, but you would think that there would be, like, a talk around town about how people go get their shaves from Sweeney and then never are seen again.
You'd think. Suspension of disbelief.
I must say, it must be a really big town!
So that happens. And then there's a whole nother character. It's weird because there's so many characters that intersect in this,
mm-hmm.
and they're all connected, and you almost like need to like draw a map. But like then you have this character named Anthony, who met Sweeney when they were both coming into London, and Anthony goes his own way, and Anthony meets this girl named Joanna, and Joanna is under the care of, you guessed it, Judge Turpin. And Judge Turpin is the guy who caused all the problems in the first place with Benjamin Barker / Sweeney Todd. Joanna, drawing another little imaginary dot here, is connected to Sweeney because that's his daughter.
Gasp! We never saw that coming.
What?
So we never saw that coming.
Never saw that coming. Then there's this random character named Beetle Bamford, who's actually my favorite character in the whole story. And he's kind of this sidekick to the judge. And he's actually the whole reason the judge knows about Sweeney, because he witnesses the shave-off in Act 1.
Mm.
And recommends is... And recommends is... What am I saying?
And recommends is...
Sweeney's trade to the judge because he needs a shave. But why does the judge need a shave? For the very disgusting reason that he wants to woo Joanna, the girl who's supposed to be like his daughter.
Ew.
Exactly. Cue the ew. So that, yeah. So going back to Act Two, Anthony comes in and he wants to find a way to meet Joanna. Sweeney Todd realizes this is his daughter, and so he tries to help Anthony. Anthony does good, almost gets Joanna. Long story short, a lot of different crazy plot lines happen. They try to sneak Joanna out. Different things. The judge, how does he do it? He realizes he's on Anthony. Sweeney tries to use Anthony to get the judge in trouble. Long story short, just chaos. A lot of manipulation on everyone's part.
True.
What ends up happening at the very end... Oh, and there's a whole other character I'm leaving out. There's the beggar woman. And the whole time, there's this beggar woman observing all these events, who's out of her mind. Well, if you can follow this, God bless you, listeners. But long story short, very long story short, they're all connected because they end up... Joanna ends up escaping. Anthony ends up helping. But during all this, the judge ends up pursuing. They pursue them to Sweeney Todd's shop. Sweeney Todd ends up getting his vengeance on both the Beetle and the judge. Kills them both. Anthony and Joanna escape. This beggar woman, and I also am forgetting another character, the boy who helped Pirelli, mm-hmm. Who helps Miss Lovett in her pie shop. They end up kind of finding out about stuff. He ends up killing the beggar woman. And then the boy ends up going mad by seeing all the death and seeing everything and realizing that the pies are...
meat?
Humans.
Yeah.
Humanity. Come to find out, all these people die. Mrs. Lovett has been keeping a secret. Her secret is... I didn't explain this. I didn't realize how complicated this
was. Well, you're doing a fantastic job.
Her secret is that... Well, it's not really a secret to us. We know she's kind of in love with Sweeney.
Yeah.
Benjamin Barker. But the beggar woman is actually Sweeney Todd's wife. Yeah.
What?
She was driven mad after the judge did everything he did to her and sent her husband away and took her daughter away. But Mrs. Lovett lied to Mr. Sweeney Todd and said that, I know, I don't know why I said that. But Mrs. Lovett lied to Sweeney and basically told him that she was dead. And his wife was dead. Now, according to Mrs. Lovett, it wasn't a lie because she's basically dead to the world because she's crazy and she's not herself.
Yeah.
She's no longer herself. Sweeney, realizing he killed the beggar woman, which is his wife, begs that he forgives Mrs. Lovett. Spoiler alert. Kills Mrs. Lovett by throwing her into the... he doesn't slaughter her throat. He throws her into the oven.
Throws her into the oven, yep.
And then while he is contemplating everything that he has done, the boy who has gone mad by seeing all the death and carnage and all that sneaks up behind Sweeney and slices his throat. And dies, except the boy. So.
Wow.
Yay. It's a wonderful, positive show about communication. And loving each other.
And
honesty.
And love. Hey, the lovers.
Joanna and Anthony get a happy ending.
Yeah, I want to say the lovers get a happy ending, of course.
Yeah. After witnessing a lot of death as well. But yeah. So everyone's like, what's the point?
Yeah, and the whole town is now mortified that they ate human pies.
Yes.
So, does the town ever find out?
I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. They never really open that up.
They're probably
the
like...
show itself, let's talk about show structure and like staging and stuff like that, I guess. But the show itself is narrated by the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a cautionary tale of vengeance. And so every transition, it's almost operatic, the show is.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of just dialogue. There is, but there's not a lot of it. And every transition, everything is narrated and underscored by this beautifully haunting score that is just beautiful to listen to, but also gives you chills for both positive and negative reasons.
Yeah.
And... like I said, the ensembles are these narrators, cautionary tale idea. They just keep kind of, it's almost as if you're watching this legend that's already happened, but you're watching it happen live in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because they're always like, beware the tale of Sweeney Todd, the demon barber of Fleet Street.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, this is a myth, this is a legend, this is folklore.
But yeah, I'm watching it right now.
I'm watching it right now.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you're watching a dark haunting tale. Like, even before the killing and the everything starts.
Yeah.
So the staging's actually quite brilliant. Every clip I've watched, I think, and I know we're going to get into this, but I think that's one thing I don't really care for about the movie, is the movie kind of takes away the ensemble's role.
Yeah. Yeah.
In telling the story.
Yeah.
And I think it makes it a whole lot more neato when...
neato.
I know. Neato when the ensemble is like, hey, be careful your choices are following vengeance because this is what can happen.
Yeah.
Blind vengeance can lead to bad things for a bunch of people.
Yeah.
So, which is theme as well. I'm kind of jumping all over the podcast, but
yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that is definitely something that is important, at least for the stage production of the the ensemble narrating it, because I mean that's the whole point of the ensemble in the show, because really it could be done without an ensemble.
It's really not an ensemble show outside from that.
Yeah.
Like, learn a few numbers, and obviously you have to have people to kill, but
of course.
But that's always important. Other than that, like, yeah, it's just I think it really makes the show.
Well, I mean, the history of the show, I mean, it really hasn't been around for that long. You know, it was based off of a play by Christopher Bond called, it was pretty much called Sweeney Todd, and that was in like the 1970s. And then in 1979, Hugh Wheeler, and then of course Stephen Sondheim, wrote the musical, and it opened on Broadway that year. So 1979, so that's like 40 years, give or take, 45 years. So it hasn't been around that long. And then of course it opened up in West End the next year, because it is a British themed show. But since then, I mean, since 1980, it's been on Broadway, West End, it's had so many revivals and Broadway tours, and just has kind of come back. It also, it also was an off-Broadway, I think in like 2017 or something like that, too. But it's back currently. You already kind of mentioned it, you know, with the Tonys and everything. But it's back on Broadway for another revival, of course, with, you know, you already mentioned Josh Groban, Sweeney Todd. We'll talk more about that later towards the end of the podcast about kind of the performance now. But yeah, I mean, you already kind of mentioned it. Let's talk a little bit about the themes and designs and kind of the staging and stuff like that, because that actually is really interesting to me. We can talk about that, and then we can kind of move on to talk about the songs, and we can kind of incorporate some songs in there as well, kind of in the conversation. So, I mean, it is dark. The show is dark. The set, you know, you would think could be very minuscule. I mean, maybe like a backdrop of London and then like a chair or, you know, a shop, you know, maybe some tables and stuff. But it doesn't really have to be too elaborate, but I guess it could be.
I've seen clips that have went very simple with it, and then I've seen clips who make it deceptively simple, but there's a lot of detail there.
Mm-hmm.
The original production, everything was this very sepia-lighted, colored, just kind of bleak design look to it. Like, that was kind of their key word. When I look at pictures of the set, when I look at videos of the original Broadway production, the word that comes to mind is bleak. Mm-hmm. Because it just looks like all these people are at the end of the rope. Their costuming is very ragged. It's rough times in London. It's not times of plenty and wealth. It's times of poverty and times of everyone's trying to make it. Like, the song Worst Pies in London tells us that story completely. Mm-hmm. Like, he talks about how she can't hardly make a living selling any pies. And the staging in that song is brilliant, because if you know Sondheim music, and I know you do, LJ.
Yeah.
If you know Sondheim music, it's very lyric-oriented. The beats are so important.
Mm-hmm.
And what I love about this show is the beats and the changes and the hits and accents of notes from different instruments in the score are illustrated on stage.
Yeah.
Because when she's singing, it's one of my favorite. I show this clip to my students as a theater teacher when I'm talking about musical theater and using the music to help tell the story, not just singing the song, but using the music to help tell the story, because Angela Lansbury, love her.
Mm-hmm.
May she rest in peace. She played the original Mrs. Lovett.
Mm-hmm.
And she made this song very famous, Worst Pies in London. And every beat, every accent, everything, there was a movement. She had a she had a rolling pin because she's making pies. It's a really bad pie shop.
Yeah.
And, like, she's beating the flour to the beats. Like, what I call beat, enterprise beat, popping pussies, enterprise beat, beat. She's, like, hitting and flinching and moving to the music.
Yeah.
And it's beautifully staged. Like, the music itself is almost a character in this show. And that's probably one of my favorite numbers. And, of course, By the Sea is another great number. but we'll get to that. But there's a lot of good songs in the show, but the way that music is used, and it's very musical theater, but then it's operatic.
Yeah.
Because, like, Joanna is very much a quartet, and you have a bass, high tenor, and low tenor, and then lead, and they're singing all these different parts, and Joanna herself is a very high soprano.
Yeah.
And beautifully written, beautifully orchestrated. The themes definitely, the haunting notes, the clashing chords in the music definitely portray that haunting essence of the story.
Yeah.
In there. But yet, like, this is crazy, but there are also moments in the show that are just so funny.
Yeah.
And that's what's so odd about it, is you're just like, I probably shouldn't be laughing at this. But that's really hilarious.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's just, like I said, genius. And, yeah, like, I know I went on a rabbit hole there with the music, but it just...
Well, no, I mean, the music, just like you said, you know, the music is very much a part of the show. Just like you said, it's a character almost. And the set, I mean, just the staging of it is really important because I didn't want to bring this up yet, but I'm going to just for the sake of the point. But if you go to YouTube, if you did not watch the Tony Awards, you know, go and watch the specific performance of the Sweeney Todd that they did, and you will know exactly what Lucas is saying. Because they're kind of, the ensemble's kind of grouped up together, and they're kind of in a weird formation, but they're moving very, what's the word that I'm trying to find? They're moving together in a very synchronized way with the music. And it's looks really good. Really good. But, you know, even with Sweeney and his songs and stuff, like, they're very angry. A lot of them are. But there's also, I don't know, just in the songs itself, you kind of have a lot of those switches. So you have him, it's kind of interesting because you kind of see his range of emotions just in one song. You know, his anger, his frustration, his sadness, his willingness, his, you know, whatever. You kind of see that just throughout all the songs, but, like, in every song. So, very much a part of the story.
And then Mrs. Lovett is just fun. But it's
fun in a weird way.
Yes, and that's the thing. It's like it's out of place, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It's like this element of how is she being so positive in all this darkness?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the...
And I guess it's a theme of coping. Like, everyone has different ways of coping. Some people brood, and some people
make meat pies.
Some people make meat pies. That's what I do.
What kind of meat? No, just kidding. One of the things that, at least aspect about this show that people, I hope that people tend to think about when they do a live production of it, is A, how are you going to kill someone on stage without actually killing them and then throwing their body down a shaft to make meat pie.
You were going, but I love the pause. How are you going to kill someone without actually
killing someone? I mean, like, you know, the show itself, I don't think the show is too immensely gory. I think it could be. I mean, obviously, this person is slicing the throats of people.
I have seen versions that do it very theatrically. And usually that involves, like,
lighting,
a red garment or a red ribbon.
Oh yeah,
in the outfit or something, and then the body sliding down the chute and going into the, obviously the platform backstage. Like depending on how they have the chair design, which is another neat thing. Like a lot of people build slides and
It is so funny.
Versions where they've been like blood packets galore, like. You get some blood, and I get some blood, and we want blood everywhere, and you're sitting in the splatter zone, and yeah.
Oh, gosh, yeah. But I mean, someone...
But I've watched a lot of videos, because, like you said, the killing always intrigued me. Not that way.
Not in that way.
Killing always intrigued me as a director, like, how do you do that on stage?
In a performing way.
Yes, in a performing way, and maintain the integrity of the show without looking cheesy.
Yeah.
But without also looking too real.
Yes.
Because that can be bad too.
Yeah.
And.
Well, because in reality, a person has to walk to the chair.
Yeah.
Sweeney has to slit the throat and then dump the body.
Yeah.
And it has to, I mean, it can't just be a fake person there anymore. Like the real person is still there. So
most versions that I watch do this. It's all about staging and blocking. As they walk to the chair, they're facing the audience. Sweeney swivels the chair to face away from the audience, so that now the character is facing away. He's singing with his body kind of at a 45-degree angle,
mm-hmm.
where he's still looking out to the audience as if he's looking out the window in the distance. Because Joanna's the song where he kills the most people. It's a quartet, and he's singing his verse, slits the throat, but obviously he's slitting the throat, which is now facing away from the audience, so they don't have to see all the blood and everything.
They can just see kind of the spurts and stuff like that. And
yeah.
I mean, technically, in today's technology, you won't even need, like, fake blood or ribbon or anything, especially if you do it like that. Just have some splash up on the backdrop or something, you know, or a flash of light or something.
Splash up on the backdrop, or he slits her throat, pulls a lever, the chair usually elongates, stiffens, like the part that you sit on,
mm-hmm.
elongates and becomes one just big long board that connects to the floor, and then the body slides down. And that actor gets to take a short ride down, like, one flight of stairs. Obviously a ramp or slide, but it's basically they go down a story and then that's it for them. And what I've noticed a lot blood wise is usually Sweeney himself has a blood packet that he opens on his hand on his glove. And so then he has a blood packet on his glove because usually while he's slitting the throat, he's opening the blood packet onto the knife. Well, razor as well.
Yeah.
So that when he lifts it up, we see him cleaning it.
Yeah.
So, because that's another big image in the show is he's constantly, like, cleaning his razors.
Yeah.
And prepping them for the next kill. And
yeah. So. I mean, just imagine being that person that has to slide down the chute there. It's almost like a trap door in the floor. It'd be fun. I don't think I've never done a trap door before. I've never slid through or fallen through the floor. I don't know if I'd want to, though.
I did not do one, but I helped with one.
Yeah.
At College of the Ozarks, when we did Into the Woods, another Sondheim show, like Sweeney Todd, a very good friend of ours, Ariel, played the witch, and she had to disappear through the floor, and I remember having to go downstairs because I was Cinderella's father. And
because that makes sense. No, just kidding. Cinderella's father had to go down and save the witch.
I didn't have a lot to do on stage because he's not necessarily the biggest character in the show. Mr. Young sometimes would make me go down and help Zach and Alex with the trap door.
Yeah.
Which was in the middle of the orchestra. But that's another story. Never mind. Anyway.
I mean, it's fascinating to at least have the design, you know, of that particular aspect of the show. rather than
now,
just the
I've
sets.
Also noticed, I just thought of this. Sometimes, especially because the idea that the pie shop is underneath, it's usually done with a two-story set.
Oh.
The barbershop is upstairs. So they're really not sliding down underneath the stage. They're sliding just down to the stage floor, backstage. So, less trapdoor-y, more...
slidey.
McDonald's play place.
They just built McDonald's play place on stage.
Yeah, everything's colorful and bright. And then you have Ronald McDonald.
Wouldn't that be interesting if they did the show with, like, lots of color and... Because I'm pretty sure, and we can start talking about this too, but, like, isn't By the Sea usually more colorful? Because it's more dreamy?
Yeah, because it's... because it is. It's Miss Lovett's dream. It's her fantasy of what she wishes life could be like. It's actually... Everyone's just like, that song's not important. And I'm like, actually, it is. Because when you find out that Mrs. Lovett lied about his wife because she really wanted Sweeney to herself, that whole fantasy is her motive for that.
Yeah.
Like, that's truly what she wants. Is she wants to marry Sweeney Todd, live in a cottage by the sea, and...
have Tobias as a kid.
What?
Have Tobias as a kid.
Have Tobias as a kid, yeah. That's that kid's name. I constantly forget that.
I mean, we already kind of dabbled in some of the songs. Of course, you know, we've already talked about the Ballad of Sweeney Todd, which is kind of the opener, sung by the ensemble. And then, of course, you have, I feel like another good one. I kind of named, like, the famous ones in a sense, but, or, like, the popular ones, even though if... You're exactly right. This show is very much operatic, and there really is no dialogue in it. But, you know, No Place Like London, I feel like that's very popular. You know, that's what the introduction, pretty much him arriving back to London. Even though he's not very happy about it. He's like, No Place Like London, but it's very deep and dark and, like, despairing.
He says that. Sorry, that's a quote.
Oh, well, I'm glad I didn't even hear it. No, I'm just kidding. and then The Barber and His Wife. I'm guessing that I'm not too familiar with that one, but that is that one...
That's the backstory song.
A little bit exposition.
Mrs. Lovett as Sweeney. Mrs. Lovett has suspicions that he's Benjamin Barker, but he tells the story of his life, Sweeney's life, of the barber and his wife and what happened to them, what the judge did and all this. And that's how Mrs. Lovett realizes that that's Benjamin Barker. That's who it truly is.
Gotcha. Yeah, some exposition there. Where you talked about the worst pies in London. You know, great song for exposition of Mrs. Lovett and kind of her history.
And also just really establishing the setting. Because, like, yes, we have No Place Like London, and we're like, yes, we're in London, and this place is really, really dark. But then she sings about, like, her troubles, and we realize, oh, yeah, this town kind of sucks right now. Like, this is not the typical London. Like, we could see it's not the typical London, but now we're seeing through song that this is not the London, as an audience member, we would imagine to be.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's very period based, you know, where London was had diseases and, you know,
the plague.
but yeah, not a very good time. You have the song My Friends, which he's talking about his razors, pretty much how they never failed him. Just kind of weird, but I mean, they're his closest friends. What?
I'm gonna say yes.
yes.
That song's interesting.
That is a very interesting song. Of course, Joanna or Johanna. Every time I see the name, I want to say Johanna.
Johanna.
I feel you, Johanna. Of course, that is like the typical male solo to sing in an audition.
It's a tenor song for auditions. Like, every tenor gets up there and she's like, I'm going to sing Joanna.
And you're like, please don't.
And I'm like, I don't want to hear you feeling about Joanna. Just go away.
It's like defying gravity from Wicked or whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, everyone knows the song. It's about the guy. What's his name? Anthony. Is that right?
Anthony.
Anthony. Talking about his love for Joanna. Pretty women. What is that song about? I can't remember.
Pretty Women is when he has his chance with the judge the first time.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. It's coming back to me now.
He's trying to keep the judge distracted so he can cut his throat by talking about pretty women because he knows that's the judge's weakness because the judge did that to his wife.
Because he's a jerk! Yeah. That makes sense now. And then, of course, you know, that moves on. Like we talked about earlier, he didn't kill the judge then, and he's like, I'm angry, blah, 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 I'm going to start killing everyone. And he pretty much sings about that. And then that leads to the epiphany and the little priest at the end of Act 1, which is interesting because By the Sea starts Act 2.
Yeah.
I think.
No,
it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Never mind. That's a lie. I just lied. What?
I don't know what the song's called, but it's the ensemble sings God That's Good. It's the opening of Act 2.
Let's see. Oh, God That's Good. And then it's Johanna. Yeah.
The quartet.
Yeah, By the Sea is like not halfway through, but...
It's towards the end of Act 2.
Yeah.
Not the end, but...
I feel like Act 2, and it's so funny because when you were explaining it earlier, you know, Act 1 seemed like very, like, flow, and you like, oh, yeah, I get this. And then Act 2 is all like, what? I feel like people get lost in Act 2 almost.
Yeah, a lot happens in Act 2.
It does. But pretty much the two most popular songs in Act 2 are By the Sea and Not While I'm Around.
Yeah.
Which is all about Mrs. Lovett, pretty much.
You, Toby, not while I'm around.
So, yeah, I mean, two good songs. I feel like it's funny because I don't usually do this. I mean, there's a couple musicals where I just, like, randomly start singing. But it's because they're good. It's not because I'm, like... making fun of them. I mean, I'm not making fun of them, but it's like I'm singing them because they're humorous and different, and it's pretty much all from this show. Like sometimes I'm just in my car and I'm like,
there's moments in this show that just stick with me.
There are. It's weird, isn't it?
Really weird. It's some of them are like really weird moments. Like I forget the song's name, but it's Anthony and Joanna's song. And it's like, she's very operatic. And she's like, I'll meet you with you on Tuesday, ba da 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 da. Like, and like they're scheming how to get away.
Yeah.
And the part that sticks with me, I don't know why. I don't know why. But like, she's like, she introduces herself. And then realizes, like, midway through that she's going to run away with him. But she doesn't even know his name. And she's like, says something about not knowing his name. And he's like, Anthony! But it's so upbeat and, like, happy. And it doesn't, in the recording of, like, the cast, that it doesn't fit at all.
Oh, no.
And so it's just randomly, like, someone's like, what's your name? And I'm like, Anthony! That's the stuff that sticks with me. That By the Sea sticks with me. Different parts of that song. Not while I'm around.
Yeah. Nothing's gonna harm you, not while I'm around. Like, you just, it's just, like, there's just something about those particular songs where you just be sitting in your car and you'll just randomly start singing it, but you won't sing the whole song. You'll just sing that portion of it.
Joanna too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, like you'll, you won't, I don't even think I know the whole song of any of these.
I feel you, Joanna.
That's it. Oh my gosh, so, yeah, I mean, the songs are catchy.
Another one is, and this one sticks with me, the weird stuff sticks with me, but it's, in A Little Priest, when she's trying to hint to him about, do you know what part I'm talking about? When she's trying to hint to him without saying about killing the men and putting them in the pies.
I don't think so.
And she's all like, but the price of meat's what it is when you get it, if you get it.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, mm-hmm.
But you got it. Like, that part gets me too.
Yeah, and I mean, there's just good wordplay.
Yeah, well,
wordplay and music, and of course, you know, that upbeat. There's a lot of that fast pace in the show as well, which of course is a Sondheim thing.
Yes.
But so to wrap it up, I think we've covered songs pretty well for the last couple minutes here. Let's talk a little bit about the opinions of the movie. You know, Johnny Depp and Helena Bonham Carter. You already kind of mentioned that you. There's an aspect about the movie that you don't like, but, you know, what's your opinion of the movie? Because, obviously, it's a movie musical, so what's your thoughts on it?
Well.
Well.
It's not. I'm trying to avoid saying that old face hate it.
Like, wow.
I don't like it compared to the original work. Mm-hmm. I feel like they've taken a lot of the things that make it genius, and we're just like, put it in a picture, and then like,
put it in a picture.
Make it work, and it's like, okay, like, yes, and they're obviously very disturbed people, and Johnny Depp is a brilliant actor, and I think he does the role well. I don't think Helena, and I love her, but I don't think she embodies Mrs. Lovett. I feel like she plays Mrs. Lovett too sweet and too controlled.
Hmm. Question. Isn't it fascinating to know that Angela Lansbury did this role?
And that's the thing, is she originated it, and she was completely unhinged and, like, almost creepily positive as the role.
Like, you and can't.
That's how I think the role should be played.
And you have to think about it. This is the woman that played the voice of Mrs. Potts.
Well, she played this role before Mrs. Potts.
Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
Like, yeah.
It's like some sweet old lady that you were all like, oh, like Bed Knobs and Broomsticks and Murder, She Wrote. And it's all like, sweetie, Mrs. Lovett?
When you get it, if you get it.
It's like, Angela, this is a side of you I haven't seen before.
And I just think she's brilliant at it.
I mean, fantastic actress.
She kills it. She sets the standard of what should be, a standard that many actresses like Patti LuPone and Annalee Ashford, who's currently on Broadway right now, who's a fantastic character actress. I saw her live in Sunday in the Park with George, and that's another Sweeney Todd, what am I saying? Another Sweeney
Todd. Here we go.
But I'm not going to go into the full like thing about it, but like, she played this dynamic character of playing this. In Act 1, she was this young woman in love with an artist. In Act 2, she plays this grandma.
Mm.
And it's like the characters are supposed to be doubled across from each other. And it's brilliant. But now she's playing this. She's playing Mrs. Lovett, who's iconic and a dream role for many an actress. But Helena Bonham Carter, I was just like... I remember seeing the clip of Angela Lansbury performing Worst Pies in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I watched the movie, I was looking forward to that number. And then I watched it, and I was like, it was good, but it was boring.
Mm.
And it was lacking energy. and it was too controlled, and it was dark, don't get me wrong, it was creepy because it was like she was super controlled, but I was like, this is the lady who's crazy in love with him.
Yeah.
This is the lady who sings By the Sea later, which is a completely ridiculous number that works in the show. And like, even when she sang that, it was like, oh, this is kind of a sweet love song now.
Mm-hmm.
Which was unnerving in its own way. Like, yeah. It was an interpretation of the character. But it was an interpretation I cared for. Because I feel like Sweeney is already this dark, brooding character, no matter who plays him in the musical or the movie. We don't need Mrs. Lovett to be that too.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, the contrast makes it interesting. The fact that they're a dynamic duo and she's unhinged but in control and he's angry but quiet really works.
Yeah.
And they were just both in the movie too quiet for me.
Yeah, I agree.
That's my biggest complaint with the movie. And there's some things they cut and some things, like, I didn't like losing the ensemble.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my biggest thing. And don't get me wrong, like, I love Helena Bonham Carter. But I wish what she brought to Harry Potter, that she brought that to Miss Lovett.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's my personal opinion. Because I know she's capable of doing it. So it's like...
yeah.
I'm like, you played freaking Bellatrix. Like, you're capable of this unhinged, crazy character. So yeah, that's my personal opinion. I think the movie is a good introduction and a very patty cake introduction version to the musical, because obviously the musical can go way darker.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not that I don't want to watch it. It's just, I'd rather watch Angela Lansbury.
Touche. Do they have a stage, like a film stage version of her?
Yeah, actually, weirdly enough, I think they do now.
Huh.
Because I was looking on Amazon for, I was ordering me a cast album, and it was like, here's some things that we recommend for you. And I saw, of all things, Another Rabbit Trail. I saw Sutton Foster's version of Anything Goes.
Oh.
Of the Bye. Like, they filmed it, and you're able to buy the stage version. So I immediately was just like, I'm a theater teacher, and I can use this as a teaching material. So I bought it. But then I saw Sweeney Todd as well. I don't think I bought that one.
I'm surprised.
But, yeah, I'm really surprised too. But I think
What was I thinking?
Well, I think I was in education mode, and I was thinking, yeah, I can't show this to my students. I was like, yeah, I'll buy that another day. But, yeah, I'm pretty sure they do have that now. I'm pretty sure it's like a PBS film version. And, yeah, it's so freaking good. But, excuse me, sorry. But the movie, yeah. I'm not against it. I think it is a good homage to the film in the sense that it does tell the story pretty well. I just think you're going to see some very strikingly big differences. And I know every movie adaptation, the musical, has that, but I feel like there's some bigger ones in this one compared to others, especially when it comes to interpretation of characters.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I agree, you know, thinking about it, and I haven't seen the movie in forever, but, you know, I think you're right. I think it is a very good starting process. You know, if you want to watch Sweeney Todd and you kind of want to, you know, at least watch it.
Yeah.
At least watch it. The film works, and then you can kind of expand your mind from there. You know, for the new revival, you know, it's on Broadway right now. And really, you know, for this, I already brought up the Tony Awards performance, which I thought was really good. I watched that at least, but I did not watch the Tony Awards. I wish I did. I always usually do, but ever since Hamilton won everything, I've kind of stopped watching it. Now I think that was the last time I watched it was when Hamilton was on there. But what really the main thing that I want to talk about or just get your opinion on for the last couple, you know, minutes here trying to wrap up is what is your opinion of Josh Groban as Sweeney Todd?
So I was skeptical, but I'll be honest. An actor, fantastic actor named Lynn Curlew. He played Sweeney in the original version, I do believe. He actually is currently acting on Blue Bloods, the TV series. He plays the elder officer, police commissioner, the old man. Not Tom Selleck's part. But rabbit trail aside, like he's spectacular. But I was just like, this is a hard role to act. And it's hard to pull it off without coming across as boring or not authentic. And I think Lynn did a good job. I do believe, I could be wrong, and if I am wrong, everyone can scream and holler at me, but I do believe in another version, I don't know if it was with Patti LuPone, but in a kind of revivalish version, concert version or something, Mandy Patinkin, maybe played him.
Okay.
I think. I might be getting that confused with Sunday in the Park with George, but I think he played him. And then he did a good job. And then we have Josh Groban. And I was expecting nothing. I was expecting great comment of 18 whatever. The last Broadway show he did. Where I was not impressed with his performance and everyone was ranting and raving and I was just like, he looks like an idiot goat. And so I was just like, I'm not impressed. And I will say, watching the Tony Award performance, let me go back. I watched an interview of him talking to people about putting on the show in the honor of Stephen Sondheim and how Stephen approached him to play the role. And before he passed away, because this was in works before he passed away, and how he was like, oh, I don't think I'm the right fit. And Stephen's like, no, I think you can do it. And he took it on, and he seems to be doing a good job, like in the clips. And then I saw the Tony Award performance, and I actually was kind of impressed.
Yeah.
I actually was kind of shocked. But I guess the bar was low for me. But I also watched Jake Gyllenhaal play the lead character in Sunday in the Park with George, which is another hard, like, very difficult part, and he wowed me. And Josh, I was like, I know you can sing, Josh. Can you act?
Yeah. I would say we all know Josh is a fantastic singer.
But I kind of believed it. Like, the darkness and the anger, like, I was like, okay. I feel like this is a little bit of a different version.
Yeah.
But not too far away. I feel like there's a little bit more. I'll be honest, I like Lynn Curlew's portrayal, but I felt like he was portraying a zombie.
Yeah.
And he's the one with Angela Lansbury, and if you watch, he's, like, very, very stoic the entire time.
Yeah.
And Johnny Depp kind of does that, too. But I felt like Josh kind of brought some humanity to him, which maybe I don't dislike. So, I don't know.
Well,
so that's my very long answer to your simple question.
Yeah, no, I am fascinated about that because, one, when I watched just the Tony Awards performance, I was like, well, he comes in at the very end and then doesn't really do a lot. You know, they were kind of like...
I will say this show is hard to showcase.
Yeah, yeah. Which,
there's no really, the music's all great, but there's no number that's like, this is what the show's about, without giving everything away. And last time it was done, they did Worst Pies in London, which is the best number to do to showcase the show, in my opinion. But they wanted to showcase Josh Groban.
Yeah.
And you're not going to showcase Josh Groban in the Worst Pies in London.
Yeah. Well, it's just kind of funny because...
Yeah.
It's almost like they told them, oh, hey, so the ensemble is going to do that thing, and then you walk on, you sing a little couple notes, you just stand there and sing, and then at the end, you bring out your blade.
Yeah.
It's like, that's actually,
in the opening, that is how it goes, except for the blade thing. But he does come in and echo what they're saying.
Yeah. I'd be very interested to go watch it.
Yeah, I would be very interested to go watch it.
And actually see him act through the whole show.
I personally love Anna Lee Ashford and think she's, like, a comedic genius, but also a very, very talented actress. Yeah. And I would love to see her Miss Lovett. But, yeah, he's doing a really good job. Mr. Stranger Things actor Gaten Matarazzo,
mm-hmm.
he's doing a good job. As Toby.
Tobias.
Tobias, whatever.
Same thing. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you already named her multiple times, you know, the actress who plays Mrs. Lovett, or the actress that plays Mrs. Lovett, and it seems to be a good performance. So, very interesting to just see Josh Groban as that. And I think when he was announced, I was like, oh, okay, we'll see what happens. So, wrapping it up, overall rating for the show, scale of 1 to 10, what's your thoughts?
Like I said, in just the realm, if I'm rating it in the realm of musical theater, and just how unique, important, and genius it is, I give it an 8.
Okay.
Personally, for me, I love a lot of the music in the show. I'm not a gory person, but I do respect and am drawn to something that is dark, but also funny, but also very life-lesson-y, which is not a word, but I can't talk right now. I personally give it, because I like a lot of other shows better, I personally give it a 6.
Okay.
Because it's not my favorite musical.
Yeah.
But it's definitely up there in things that I respect and appreciate, and like, it's a show I can't see myself in.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show I would like to direct, but Lord help me. Not with high schoolers, God.
No.
There's a high school version, though.
Oh, I bet. I would give it a 7.
Yeah.
I feel pretty strong about a 7 overall. It's not bad, not good. I'll watch it, you know, whatever. But
it's not something I'm going to flock to. Like,
yeah.
Wicked, I'm there.
Yeah, Wicked's like a 9, 10 tops.
Yeah.
We probably like, scored that
very
way.
Very positive show, but yet very life lesson-y.
Oh, well, there it is again.
I don't know. So, like, that's what... I guess the word I'm looking for is real. And that's a weird word to use with Sweeney Todd.
Yeah.
But yet it is. Because as ridiculous as the story is, it's about vengeance.
Yeah.
And it's about human nature. And how a man gets so disgusted with human nature that he decides to take matters into his own hands.
Yeah.
And chaos and blood ensues.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, of course. It is very dark and a depressing musical. It's not very lighthearted and happy at all. But it is definitely a different idea, and it's worth giving it a try at least once. If you have seen it, let us know your thoughts and opinions of it. And if you haven't seen it, let us know if you would give it a chance. Or tell us why you would never watch it. but thanks for being on the show, Lucas, and being able to do the show. Good conversation.
fun. Yeah, it was a really deep, good conversation. It's a good show. It's just not for everyone.
Yeah, a deep, dark show. But no, really, thank you for being on the show, Lucas. Thank you for taking your time to do this. I appreciate it. What was that?
I said, of course, of course.
Oh, I tend to interrupt you sometimes. I try not to. But thank you for listening, you listeners out there. Shows come out every 2 weeks on Thursday, and you can follow me on Facebook and YouTube. So thanks for listening. Stay safe out there. And remember, you don't care.